If you know me, if you're part of our life group, then you know that we love to celebrate. And any reason to throw a party is a reason to throw a party. And so we did have a little party last Saturday in Victoria for the new book, which was an incredible time. But I just want to reiterate what Tracy said, and I have a slide that introduce us to a new book. One of our planning team members introduced us to this book, Tiny Traumas, When You Don't Know What's Wrong, But Nothing Feels Quite Right. Psychologist Meg Arell offers a much-needed framework for recognizing and combating the devastating cumulative effects of small, everyday wounds, tiny traumas that, like major traumas, can negatively shape our lives. And who of us have not had small cumulative traumas? I have, and I've shared some of them, and if I had more time, I would share more of them today. But even back in the 1800s, this is a theologian, philosopher, Soren Kierkegaard. He said, people settle for a level of despair that they can tolerate and call it happiness. This is 1800s, before the internet. This is the golden years when we think that our forebears had such a great life. They didn't have social media, etc. Even then, this was found. And if this were ever true today, is it not true today? So, last time I was here, you know that I've been dangling these keys, and these are borrowed keys from Ethan Wittish, and I've been dangling them now since June, Father's Day. Now, just to be absolutely clear, these are not my keys. They're not literally my keys because they belong to Ethan, but neither do we, when Jesus gives us the keys of the kingdom, are we the owners of the keys. He gives them to us as gifts to unlock the strongholds that keep us back. They're gifts. We do not strive to use them, but we're given the freedom to use them, to open up a life. And a stronghold is simply a prison, the walls we build around us to protect our hearts from further injury, which typically we build in, guess when? Childhood, right. All right, so we left last time, we studied Uzziah last time, and some of you haven't maybe been following all along, but we left this box locked last time, and remember Janet helped me lock it up after we went through Uzziah's life, and at the end of his life, we saw that he had failed to get the idolatry out of the land. Then we saw that he became proud. Then he came down with leprosy or some skin disease like leprosy. So he had dis-ease. And then they kicked him out of the temple and had to go live alone, and he was isolated. So we saw in the life of Uzziah that he was locked up. Now, I'm going to ask Darcy to come and join me a minute. Make sure he has a microphone. So this is my best illustration of the normal Christian life. So Darcy, how old are you?
45.
Is it on? There we go. Try that.
45.
You're 45.
Yeah.
You told me you tried church before.
Yeah, about 12 years ago. Freddie My marriage was falling apart with poor choices, liquor, drugs, not following Jesus for certain.
Okay. And,
Freddie.
You tried church.
I did try church.
But?
I came and left.
You came and left. Yeah. Why?
I wasn't ready.
You weren't ready.
I wasn't sober. I wasn't ready to be honest with myself.
So last time you and I were together and I had this box, you told me you were touched. What happened?
It represented what, it showed me
just
what I was.
Talk right into the mic.
I seen what I was holding back.
Okay.
I had a wall around myself with bad things.
And what did you do that day?
Open the box.
Open the box. Yeah. And Scott prayed with you.
I gave myself to Jesus that day.
He's a new brother, folks. Thank you. So what would you say to any skeptic that's out there?
I'm the biggest skeptic that you would ever meet, and I'm not anymore.
Not anymore.
I was the big, yeah.
Yeah. God bless you, Darcy. Thanks for coming up and sharing. Yeah. So, Darcy, you?
I didn't throw that.
What? So you're wearing your cross.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can go sit. And we might have you come back in a minute. So we got four keys to unlock. Now, I know that Michael Kuliana says that we should disregard the clock. Are we a Jesus image church? Anyway, let us go through this. If you're really hungry at noon and you really need to go, you can be dismissed. But I know the Holy Spirit knows everything that happened in this service, and he knows what he laid on my heart to share. So let's see if we can do our best to move ahead. So this, Darcy, is number one on this circle, a brand new believer. And according to Ephesians 4, it is plan A by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, based on revelation to the Apostle Paul, that we all grow to maturity, and that would be the gold circle number 6. And in that journey, there is a journey of discipleship or growth. Now, there are others who have laid this out, St. Teresa of Avila in her book, but we know that 80% of us hit a wall, and 66% of leaders hit a wall and do not finish well, according to the data that I shared with you last time. And this is data by Dr. Bobby Clinton. So most of us strive in circles 1, 2, and 3 in the first half of our life. And if we hit a wall, then we either make the passage from striving to a homecoming son or daughter and cease striving, and then we minister and serve out of a place of being, not out of striving. So Darcy, you're beginning your journey. Our commitment to you is to walk with you. And you're 45, and I've been joking around here for quite a while that the 40s is the new adolescence, or not the new adolescence, it's a second adolescence. That's when many of us start a healing journey, because that's roughly, many of us hit a wall roughly in those years. Not everybody, some hit a wall much earlier. I hit a wall at 60. We hit a wall at different times. But the good news is that together we can go through, over, or around, if we unlock all four locks. The reason why people get stuck is because they think that maybe they can open 1, 2, or 3 and thrive. But the reality is, unless we do all four, we will invariably get stuck or spin our wheels. All right, so I've already said that the keys belong to Jesus. They're given to us as a gift. They're not cheap. He paid the price to steal them back from Satan. Satan was given the keys when Adam and Eve fell. Jesus went to the cross to buy them with his broken body and shed blood on the cross to take the keys back. So he says in Revelation 1, I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. And here's our key verse from Matthew 16, verse 19. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid or to lock. So we have authority to lock on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release, unlock on earth that which is released in heaven. So we are given the keys, and this is the story in Matthew 16. And I explained to you that Jesus took his disciples on a field trip to the very gates of Hades, to the Grotto of Pan, it's called. All right, so last time we followed the life of Uzziah, and he did not finish well. He's one of the two-thirds of leaders throughout history who did not finish well. Joshua and Mike McNeil on Friday night set us up to look at the life of Joshua. So let's look at the word. We're going to look a little bit at the life of Joshua for the time we have. So everybody should have a handout. If you didn't get a handout, maybe the ushers can find one, because I'd like every adult to have a handout. So the kids are already out of Sunday school. They're welcome to come and watch this box get unlocked. All right. So Joshua 24:29. After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at 110. And Joshua is deemed by many theologians to be a type of Jesus, an example of the Jesus to come, a type. His name, Yeshua, is actually in Hebrew, Jesus. His name was Hoshea. Moses changed his name. Hoshea means deliverer. Yeshua means Yahweh saves. So we're going to look at key number one, which is in the realm of the spiritual. And we saw that Uzziah's stronghold was idolatry. And we had this word cloud with several of those things that can be idols in our lives today. So money, sex, and power have traditionally been idols in today's world. Social media and materialism are probably high on the list. Devices, etc. But there may be generational things such as Freemasonry. There may be occult involvement. There may be dabbling in other faiths. So the question for us then, who do we really worship? And of course, Heather, with our worship this morning, set us up. We are, if you are a follower of Jesus, and Darcy, welcome to the family, but you made a commitment to follow Jesus, and we are there with you. And it is my hope and prayer that everyone here has opened this first lock to make a commitment to Jesus. The first key is transcendence. Got a blank slide there. There we go. Means a meaning and purpose beyond yourself. Our growth needs are to be holy, to be worshipers, to spend time in the Word, to be Christ-like. Key number one. So we got one unlocked. Now, if you entirely focus on this, you could be quite religiously dysfunctional. You could be a Pharisee to the far right. You may be maybe mystical to where, as the phrase says, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. It's possible to be religiously dysfunctional. And many of the people that we see have grown up in very dysfunctional religiosity. The other risk when you are focusing on key number one is that you denigrate the body. And that is more Platonism than Christianity. That the body is not important. The body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. All right, that's number one. So, number two, this is the realm of the psyche or the soul. So the stronghold there is, we saw that in the life of Uzziah, he was proud. He fell because of pride. But we also saw that pride is the flip side of shame. And shame is invariably rooted in childhood unhealed trauma. So trauma and shame are a stronghold in many of our lives. The psychic wound of unhealed trauma, and we now know exactly how that works in the brain. We can see it on scans where certain parts of the brain are disconnected and malwired. So the key here is integration of broken parts. So the question is, am I enough? And we read in the life of Joshua that he was deemed to be wholehearted. And that's one of the reasons that he and Caleb were able to enter into the promised land. The opposite of wholehearted is brokenhearted. And that brokenhearted we now know literally is parts. And so their reintegration of broken parts is key to opening lock number two. So number two is integration. Let's go. We're going to do this by noon. Are you cheering for me? Come on now, let's go. We got two unlocked. We're halfway there. But is halfway enough? Is halfway enough? No. That's key. Pardon the pun. And a music key is another key. Pardon that pun. All right. So, let's move on. So, integration is the second key. The key is that, I've said it already, the integration of parts. And there are those who do that ministry. It doesn't happen automatically. You need to be on a healing journey, because otherwise you are probably walking in the middle of a stronghold and don't even know it. And like Soren Kierkegaard, you're just half miserable all the time. And you're never really full of the joy of the Lord. Let's take it from somebody who's walked with people for 40 years. I've seen it. So growth area is character and integrity. Again, integrity literally is that integration, becoming one from many. Humility is key in this. Just look at world leaders today. All right. Key number three, the area of the soma, the body. Soma is the Greek word for body. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So our bodies are important. So we saw in the life of Uzziah that sickness took him out after he got very angry and raged. And we know that unbridled anger and rage causes dis-ease of many kinds. And We have addiction, we have pain, mental illness, physical illness, dementia, metabolic syndrome, stress, ADHD, etc. So key, there's the stronghold. So, what about Joshua? So the question that we ask ourselves then is, how can we find comfort from our distress? And Joshua, when he had reached a venerable old age, God said to him, "You've had a good long life, but there is a lot of land still to be taken." So did he retire to the golf course or to the beach or to the Caribbean? Doesn't look like it. And right now, I have recently heard interviews with three leaders, global leaders in my age bracket in the 70s that I would look up to. And I've heard three interviews by them. One is Rick Warren, who baptized in his time. Rick Warren was the pastor of Saddleback Church. He gave us Celebrate Recovery. He gave us the Daniel Plan. And many in a very large church in California. He baptized 54,000 people during his ministry. Now he leads Finishing the Task, the goal of multiple Christian ministries working together to finish taking the gospel to all nations, all people groups. FTT is the short. If you hear him, Tracy, you heard him. It's very inspiring to me. The other one is Nikki Gumbel, who gave us Alpha, also in his 70s, still very passionate and is giving 100% of his efforts to the global outreach of Alpha. And the other one is Bill Johnson at Reading. They have sent 20,000 graduates from their school of ministry around the world. So here are guys my age still flourishing and not going for, yes, we minister, but it's out of a place of rest. It's not striving. If we've made that transition successfully between that first season and that second season, then it's out of a place of rest and out of a place of transcendence, being with the Lord. I didn't even read the verse that was relevant for Joshua, because I won't go back there. So, what is the key to physical well-being? Discipline, self-control. The growth need is vitality, resilience, grit, stamina, verve, fortitude. So here's where I think it's so crucial, and we have young people with us. And I know you get tired of me saying this, but the sooner you start on this journey together, the less heartache and illness and suffering later in life. Again, take it from someone who's been there. So John Tyson, in a recent interview with John Eldridge, and John Eldridge is another one of these 70-something who still has a weekly podcast regularly and still does counseling ministry. But he was interviewing John Tyson, who was the speaker at the men's retreat back in Moncton a few weeks, maybe a month or two ago. So he said, as they were talking about the revival, the renewal that's happening in your generation right now around the globe, this generation is going to be tested starting around 28, 29, 30 years of age. That's when the wellness and the wholeness and the wholeheartedness in those early years is so crucial. Again, in the mission field, our first term, I was judgmental and very proud. And we were fruitless. We were dealing with infertility. And when we came home and had ministry, that's the wall at that point in our lives that we had to deal with. So dealing with our strongholds early is so crucial to a flourishing, long, fruitful life. So discipline is number three. Here we go. All right, can I open the box? Why not? All right. You can see which it is because you have notes. It's isolation. So at the end of Joshua's ministry, his leadership, when he gathered all the Israelites together, he said, "As for me and my household, we," not me, I, "we will serve the Lord." Darcy, a Christian life to maturity is never a solo journey. And you've already got guys beside you, walking with you. That is so crucial. It is a we journey. Because it's only as we rub the little edges off each other when we are in relationship that we actually do the growing. So what is the key? Connection. And Pastor Joel, you're the man of connection. So you should be unlocking this last lock. Come on, do a prophetic act. Do a prophetic act. We could have had Heather do the first one. We could have had Ruth do the second. We could have had Deborah and Crystal do the third one. But we are a family. You got it. Now what do we do?
Open.
And then what?
Live.
Look. You didn't stick around to see what's in it.
I did. I saw it.
You saw it.
Yeah.
So we have our rock of idolatry. And we have our rock of, what's the second one? Unhealed trauma. The third one was dis-ease. Sloth and hedonism lead us to dis-ease. The last one, isolation. So the enemy wants us to be locked up. He will do everything in your and my life. And this box also represents corporate. As an organization, as a ministry, as a church, this can be corporate or it can be individual. And oftentimes, it may be both. The Israelites certainly had their idolatry as a nation. So, this is where we... So we've already called forth the fact that you need all four keys to open the prison so that you can offer what is sacred within you to the life of the world. When we live from the inside out, then rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being. So it's as living water has space in your innermost being. When it overflows, that's when it starts to nourish and flow into folks around you, into your community, into our nation, Jasmine. When you go on YWAM, when we have the Jesus to the Nations next weekend, when young people will come and feel the call, it's out of a place of wholeness that living water flows from the innermost being. So at the end of Joshua's time as the leader, after they've entered the promised land, you may remember that when they crossed the Jordan, they built a rock pile in the Jordan. So here at the end, when he is making a renewed covenant with his people, the people of Israel, what does he do? I'll read it for you. So he said, "But for me, as my household, we will serve the Lord." So then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." Because they too said, "We will serve the Lord." Are we, Summerside Community Church, together saying, "We will serve the Lord and cast away our idols and be as one as the body of Christ in this place and take the Great Commission gospel to the ends of the earth?" So what does he do? This is going to be our closing challenge. And Heather, we can just have a bit of soft music. So then Joshua said, "Throw away the foreign gods that are among you. Yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." Now again, I just want to stress, this is not out of a place of striving. This is a place of yielding and surrender. It is the Holy Spirit, and this is the whole point of this diagram. We live according to the Spirit as New Testament followers of Jesus. If we are committed to Jesus and have Him in our hearts, it is the power of the Holy Spirit through our transcendence, key number one, our reintegration for the blue circle in the middle, and then our bodies on the outer circle in submission to what the Holy Spirit in our moments of transcendence, both in worship, as the Lord again then fills us, being filled by the Holy Spirit, we live from the inside out with self-control, fruitfulness, love, and purpose. That is our calling, every single one of us that's in this room. And if you're listening on at home, I challenge you as well to be living from the inside out. And so he took a large stone and set it under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. He took a large stone, set it in a holy place, set it on the, we'll say that's our altar. "See," he said to all people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words of the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." Let's stand to pray. And as I pray on behalf of us as the body of Christ in this place, I pray that individually you can be a witness to this rock. You're a witness to this rock that you, like Joshua, say, "As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." Thank you, Lord, for the life of Yeshua and our King of Kings, Yeshua Jesus, who gives us the keys of the kingdom. And just as the Israelites of old, under the leadership of Joshua, were able to enter the promised land, now you lead us into the promised land of the new heaven and the new earth. And I pray in Jesus' name that every one of us will be part of that journey of hastening the day of your return, being great, great commission followers of Jesus Christ, so that we can, as Jesus said, bear good fruit for now and for eternity. And I pray, Lord, that we as together, if there are strongholds in the foundation of this church, that we as those together, as leaders, would stand together to repent and to bring those to the cross. And Lord, where we are still walking in brokenness, we thank you that you are the healer. You are the healer of the brokenhearted. You want every one of us to be integrated and whole and to be like Joshua, be wholehearted. And then, Lord, I pray that we will honor our bodies as you see them as temples of the Holy Spirit by living a lifestyle of discipline and gratitude and using our bodies in ways that would honor and glory, bring honor and glory to you. And then we need to be in relationship as connect groups. And I pray that every single one of us would see the need to be in a relational group, because we only grow to maturity as we are in community, where we can sense we belong, where we're connected, and truly, as Jesus said, you are the body of Christ. Help us to be that body. So Lord, now, as we finish this service, I thank you for your presence. Thank you for the movement of your Spirit in the worship, in the commissioning of Jasmine, in the celebration of new life together as husband and wife, and in the celebration of a work being released into the government, into the community. And so, Lord, I pray now as we leave this witness, this rock is a witness. And if there are any, Lord, who would come for prayer, we have a ministry team. So bless us in our leaving, and may we go and be image bearers of Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.